Well, this morning we find ourselves in the second Sunday of the new year. Somehow we made it through last year, 2020, though there's an old expression that says, no worse for wear. I'm not certain that applies here. I think we all feel a little beat up from last year, let alone these events that happened just this past week at the Capitol. In some ways, we can kind of relate to this guy. You may recognize it. They actually call him the Mayhem commercial guy. The familiar Mayhem commercials began in 2010, 10 years already, almost 11 actually. They started running alongside the still running slogan of all, that's the longest of all times, "You're in good hands." That slogan actually started in 1950. So Allstate Insurance alternates between the Mayhem guy and the reassuring voice of this guy, Dennis Haspert. Haspert, I think his name is. The expression, "you're in good hands," actually dates back to around the 1300s, and it's meant to indicate that the person that's looking after you is an expert. It's responsible for you, and you'll be safe with them. You are in good hands. The expression may have an origin in our vernacular around the 1300s, but God coined a similar phrase long before that. Scripture is always the right place to turn to when you're feeling a little overwhelmed, when you need some direction, when you need some comfort, when you need reassurance. And we always find wonderful encouragement and wonderful just help and direction in the Scriptures. Every book of the Bible, each separate individual book, has specific meaning for us and gives us hope. The book of Psalms is a wonderful example of encouragement that we find in God's Word. Psalms were developed over a period of about 1,000 years. Several authors are attributed to the Psalms from 1500 B.C. to about 450 B.C. And the original title in Hebrew means the Book of Praises. There are actually five books within the Psalms, and it's believed by most to be a hymnbook, if you will, a hymnbook of the prayer book of the ancient church. And one of the most recognized Psalms, in fact, some claim it's the most recognized scripture for all people, is Psalm 23. It's a beautiful psalm and a powerful psalm of strength and comfort. And the psalm portrays Christ as both shepherd and gracious hope. And in the psalm, we find wonderful promises, and it really probably more richer than we give it credit for. The familiarity of it, we don't really recognize the impact that the psalm is meant to have. It's a short one. Let's take a look at it here. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This psalm, by most of thought, is a funeral psalm. Sometimes when you're putting the funeral together for some folks that kind of have some distant acquaintance with you or the church and maybe through somebody, and they, you know, you ask them what they might want to hear at the funeral, and they may say things like, "Well, you know, that one Bible scripture about the valley of death, and it's just a recognizable one." And they think of it as a funeral psalm, and it is used at funerals. Appropriate so. I've used it at funerals, but it's appropriate. But really, all scripture is always appropriate at funerals, certainly, especially at funerals. And it may be used at funerals, it certainly is appropriate, but it's actually a psalm for the living. It's a psalm for those that are going through a challenging time, such as we have been going through. It's a psalm of reminding what God has done in the past and what he's going to do in our lives. It has wonderful promises. It all acknowledges at the same time the promises. There are times where your soul is going to be overwhelmed. There are times you may have danger in your life, and you may, in fact, have enemies in your life. And so it acknowledges all of that. And it really can be considered a confessional psalm. Now, let me clarify that. There are several psalms that are considered confessional psalms, as in repentance. I am confessing my sin and repenting. And I don't mean that. I mean confessional in a terms of declaration, a proclamation. I am confessing this. David wrote Psalm 23, and the promises of Psalm 23, and there are many, are best appropriated by understanding David's attitude and his proclamation regarding God. David starts out confessing, proclaiming God's promises. And then he ends it up with, he said, you know, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Imagine what he's saying. Goodness and mercy will be with me, will follow me every day that I live. As we enter this new year, that would be a great daily confession. Regardless of what we're feeling or what's going on, that we can say, this day, goodness and mercy shall follow me, shall be with me. And you can confess that and believe that only when you first confess verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. In the original language, the Lord is Jehovah. Jehovah is my shepherd. It means the self-existent, eternal one who reveals himself. In times past, we've looked at the names of God, and the word Jehovah is so important, like Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals me, Jehovah Jireh, the God that sees ahead and provides. And notice that for David and for us, if we're sincere about it, it's a personal confession. Jehovah, the Lord, is my shepherd. This is not, oh yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, there's a God. It's Jehovah is my God. I am submitted in every way to the shepherd. It's not that there's a God and I kind of know of God and believe in God. No, God is God and he's my God. In fact, he's my shepherd. He's ahead of me. If Jehovah, the Lord, is your shepherd, then the understanding here when this was penned in the scripture is that he has complete control and authority over your life. A shepherd, of course, is in charge of the sheep. And the sheep fully rely on the shepherd for every provision, completely relying, completely submitted to the shepherd. And we know, of course, that while David talked about Jehovah, the Lord is my shepherd, in the New Testament, we recognize Christ is our shepherd. Jesus himself calls himself our shepherd. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Talk about a committed shepherd, willing to give his life for the sheep. And he proved it, of course. He gave his life for you and for me. Shepherd, he talks about not as a hireling that runs when there's a problem. The good shepherd hangs in there when there's a problem, when there's difficulty. He stands there and protects the sheep. In the passage just before Jesus said he was a good shepherd, he talks about the thief that comes to steal and can destroy and kill you. And he said, I've come to give you life and give you life abundantly. And then he clarifies that and he follows up in this in 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. That's a tremendous promise right there. But my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. God presents us this dual picture, if you will, of his hand in your life. His hand on your life and his hand in your hand at the same time. His hand watching and protecting you and his hand holding you and guiding you. Through every trial, through every victory, God said, I'm with you. I'm there. No one, not even the enemy, can snatch you out of God's hand. No matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through, God says, I'm hanging on, I am here. And remarkably, in verse 28, Jesus said, no one's able to snatch you out of my hand. And then in verse 29, he says, nobody's able to snatch you out of my Father's hand. Double protection. He's saying, you're in the grip of Jesus, and you're in the grip of the Father. As if you're walking with them, one has one hand and one has the other, and they say, nobody's going to get you. We got you. When you're feeling overwhelmed, when you feel like the enemy's coming at you from all sides, tell him you're in the grip of Christ. Remind yourself who has your hand, and in the Father's grip, the shepherd's grip. And the word snatch, nobody can snatch you out of my hand, in the original language means to seize, to pull, to take by force. Nobody can get to you. The enemy may try to snatch you. Things may overwhelm you and try to snatch your mentality. But there is no force greater than God the Father. There is no force greater than Jesus the Victor. And there is no force greater than God the Holy Spirit. You are in good hands indeed. And this grip, it's not a controlling grip. It's not a demanding grip, a domineering grip. It's a loving grip, a shepherd's grip, a guiding and protecting grip. And it's not just a shepherd's grip. Jesus clarified it as the good shepherd. He said, there's a difference. It's the good shepherd. This wasn't lost on original hearers. I mean, they understood shepherds and sheep and what was happening and what changed when it was a good or a bad shepherd. David, we well know, hopefully, is a writer of the 23rd Psalm, but we well know as well that he tended his father's sheep. And when he penned, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd, I shall not want, he understood the impact of that statement because he knew what it was to provide everything that the sheep he tended needed. When he performed his duty as shepherd, his whole life was committed to the sheep. Everything the sheep needed, he was responsible for providing. We see in Psalm 23 then, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sakes. Every day, early in the morning, David would lead the flock from the fold, marching at the head, taking them to where they were going to be pastured. He led them as they followed. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And it's not understood as a make, as forcing them. It's an enabling. He enabled me. He took me to. He caused it to happen to go to this beautiful pasture. As a shepherd, he didn't lead them to burn out grass or a place of no provision, place of rocks. He took them to the lush provision. It's actually a picture of living and lying in provision, green, lush grass, everything the shepherd needed for nourishment and comfort. He said, I will take them and provide for them that they'll be at peace and their needs will be met. And I don't believe that Psalm 23 could be fully appreciated apart from the word of God spoken to Israel through the prophet Ezekiel. And chapter 34 of the prophet Ezekiel begins by condemning the former leaders, acknowledging they were leaders as if a shepherd that would lead as well. And he condemns them. He said, you didn't help the people. You used them for your own gain. And because of your selfishness and your lack of leading, the sheep became like scattered sheep, if you will, and lost and living in danger, available to prey. They weren't protected. They were scattered. And so God then paints a picture of a good shepherd. Let's look at Ezekiel 34:11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they're scattered on a dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back to their own land of Israel from among the peoples and the nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all the places where people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture land on the high hills of Israel. They will lie down in pleasant places, feed in the lush pastures of the hills. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. Wow, we could spend a long time just on this section, this passage of Scripture, all the promises, the high hills to be safe and protected, on and on. And it's a wonderful picture of Christ seeking the lost, rescuing them, caring for their needs, restoring them, restoring us back to God. When you submitted to Christ as your shepherd, His desires do the same thing for you. Certainly when you're first saved and He brings that restoration and that healing, but then He says, it doesn't stop there. I'm responsible for you every day of your life. He tells us in Philippians 4:19, and my God, my shepherd, shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply every need you have. And if you want to wonder what His provision is, it's everything you need according to God's riches, and God owns it all. He said, I've got whatever you need. And the Lord is my shepherd. I won't be in want. Now, if you've lived any time in the Lord and spent time in life, you hopefully have learned there's a difference between your needs and your wants. Sometimes I wish the Scripture said, my God will provide every want. But that, of course, would only bring us to eventual destruction. Thankfully, He does give us some wants, but there's some things we want that aren't good for us necessarily, or maybe aren't the right time in our life. Doesn't mean that God has a problem with you having nice things. Not at all. But He says, I will provide your needs, the thing that you need to live and be safe and protected, and the thing that you need to draw you closer to me, God says. And the wording in Psalm 23, I shall not want means I'll lack nothing. And for the said, the for the good shepherd, He's the source of every need, every provision, so they find themselves lacking or wanting nothing. And so we see this promise again as well as in Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Just to be in God's presence, He said there's no good thing that will hold from you when you walk righteously uprightly. And it's interesting that God, of all His choices, how He would decide to define Himself, He chooses to portray Himself as a shepherd, a good shepherd. And we said Jesus promises in John that He's a good shepherd. His desire is that you lack or want nothing. And so we understand that when you find yourself in need, go to your shepherd. He shall supply all of your needs. There is no need that you can imagine that He won't supply. If you're lacking wisdom, go to your shepherd. If you're lacking finances, go to your shepherd. Comfort, go to your shepherd. If your need is healing, go to God, your shepherd. If your need is emotional, go to God, your shepherd. Whatever your need is, God says, I will meet that need. I hold myself responsible to meeting that need in your life. So once again, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in a path of righteousness for His name's sake. This whole understanding of still waters is really interesting. I mean, the Hebrew, it means peaceful, quiet, rest, consolation. Locato once wrote this, Max Locato. Sheep will not lie down when they're hungry, nor will they drink from fast-flowing streams. So you see this understanding, there's still water, this safety for the provision. He writes, sometimes a shepherd will temporarily dam up a stream so the sheep can quench their thirst. The good shepherd must lead his sheep because they can't be driven. They have to be led, they can't be driven. Instead, the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and follow him. Just as we listen to our shepherd, Jesus Christ, in His word, and follow Him. So often we go through life saying, we know the Lord, we love the Lord, I've got all these plans, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and Lord, you come along with me, because we're headed out. And God said, in this relationship, I lead you. And so when your plans are being led of the Lord, you are following him into the best possible thing for your life. He will lead you, guide you as you go about making every need you have and you want God to provide for it and every direction in your life and everything you put your hand to when it's led of God. He said, I will take you there and it will prosper. And says, he restores my soul. When you're troubled, man, if we aren't troubled about all that's going on around us and troubled what's happening in our country and all sorts of levels and all sorts of ways, when you're feeling defeated, he says, I'll restore, re-comfort. I'll put you at one in your inner being as understanding, to be just restored instead of your soul being vexed or overwhelmed or fearful or defeated or whatever it may be. The psalm here acknowledges that because of God, you shall not want. And then it addresses how many ways a shepherd fulfills needs. We said David, he would start his day as leading his flock to green pasture. But as the day went on, different needs arose. And he would meet whatever that need might be. We said he led his flock to still waters, streams, pools of refreshing. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God will always lead you in paths of righteousness. God's lighting, guiding is always dependent on his righteousness, his wisdom, his direction. His guiding will always direct you into truth and beauty. And it's always for your benefit and his name's sake. And we call ourselves Christians. We say we belong to God. We are submitted to Christ. And for his name's sake and for your benefit, he will always lead you in the path of truth and righteousness. You belong to God. His leading will allow you to glorify him in everything you do. And then we come to verse 4. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. If you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We see why this is often used at funerals. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and it's appropriate, there's the comfort. I'm not fearful of dying, all of that. But an accurate translation as well is valley of deep darkness. We saw similar things in Ezekiel. Though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, this dark time in my life. There's a book that I've had for years called Psalms Now. It's kind of taking the Psalms and making it now, making it in our vernacular. And it's, let me read you part of it. It says, he is by my side. He is ever present with me. He's close beside me when I tread the dark streets of danger and I would flirt with death itself. He will not leave me. When the pain is severe, he's near to comfort. When the burden is heavy, he's there to lean upon. When you find yourself in a dark valley, when danger is near, when death may even seem imminent, when the enemy threatens you or you're feeling fearful, God said, I've got you. You are in the shepherd's grip. This picture that Jesus paints of being a good shepherd and holding your hand and the Father holding your other hand is an incredible picture if we would just grasp it. He's with you. 1 Samuel, of course, tells us the deal with the Israelites battling with the Philistines. We know, should know the story probably. The Philistines' main warrior, Goliath, stands before him, this giant, literally a giant of man, and challenges Israel to send one man to fight him. One man to fight him. And if that man beats me, you all win. If I beat and kill him, we the Philistines win. So battle rages on. Not one individual will step up to fight Goliath. Young David, most likely a teenager, coming from feeding his father's sheep, is going to check on his brothers, and he comes up there, and he offers to fight Goliath. And let's look at this in 1 Samuel 17. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, and I struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has dared, if you will, to defy the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." It's interesting. You know, you would think David would walk around telling people, "Man, I just took a lion out. This bear came and took my sheep, and I grabbed that thing, I got the sheep free, and I took that bear out." No. I killed the lion, I killed the bear, because the Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. And this thing that is threatening us right now, God will deliver me as well. He had a shepherd's heart. A lion, a bear, I mean, they seem pretty formidable. But when a good shepherd sees a sheep in danger, he goes after it. David said, "When this thing grabbed that sheep, I went after it. I rescued it. God said, I'm the good shepherd. I will do the same thing for you, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're going through." So then we see in Psalm 23, verse 4, "Yea, I walk through the valley of shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The shepherd would take this staff to guide the sheep and the rod to protect the sheep. At night, when David would bring the sheep back to the fold, he'd count the sheep as they passed under his rod to be certain that none were missing. And then, when he had back them safe in the fold and protected, he'd stay with the sheep. He didn't lock them up and head on out. He stayed with the sheep to protect them from the attack of wild beasts and the attempts of a prowling thief. Never left them. God says, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I don't care what's happening all around you. I'll never leave you." And I'm not saying that God doesn't care. It's in spite of what's happening around you, I'm with you. In this dark, deep, fallen world that is screaming for righteousness, screaming for God to come in and intervene, God says, "I'll be with you." Ever watchful, ever protecting, ever providing. It's one thing to accept Christ as your Savior. I believe many people have done that over the years. I've often used the expression that people accept Christ as their Savior for fire insurance, to keep them out of hell. But accepting Him as your Savior is the beginning. It's when He becomes your Lord that you enter into a true relationship. Because when He's your Lord, you're submitted to Him. When He's your good shepherd, you're provided everything from Him, and you're submitted and yielded, looking to Him for your provision. Complete control. And you benefit when you submit to the shepherd. When He's your shepherd, you stay in His care, in His fold, His ever watchful eye. And if you slip and wander off, you begin resisting His grip. And the shepherd's grip is loving, gentle, caring, protective, but He won't force you to stay in His grip. All too often, we want to wiggle out of that grip, maybe just for a day or a night or a season. He will stand against the enemy for you. No one will snatch you out of His hand. You and I both know we can choose to let go of that hand occasionally. That seems to me a very dangerous place to be. In our flesh, we try to do that from time to time. And it's almost like when we look at this and look at the Word and look at the promises, what are we thinking? But you know, God, He allows that to happen when we choose it. He'll come after you. He will never leave you by His choice. But we can step out of His headship. It's when you stay in His will for you that goodness and mercy follow you. When you proclaim that He's your shepherd, you're being led by Him, you're trusting Him, you're being led, you're following His leading and guiding, then goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. We can't go off running around doing our own thing and expect goodness and mercy to rest with us and follow us. It's when you're in his fold that he prepares a table for you before your enemy. It's when you're in his fold that he anoints your head with oil and your cup runs over. Your cup, I mean, that's a provision. You've got so much to provide it, you got extra. Your cup running over. Several years back, I remember a good pastor friend of mine gave me a call. A week or so before that, a family member from his church had called him and said, you know, about a week or so ago, these people called me and said, can you pray? Our 18-year-old son is being very rebellious, and we're just very concerned about him, and would you pray? And of course, he prayed with the family and continued to pray for this 18-year-old that was just rebellious. Been in the church, grew up in the church, and he just decided he's going to be that rebellious individual. About a week after that, one Saturday evening, somebody from the church saw him staggering down the road, wandering around, and very concerned about him, and they stopped, and they offered him a ride, but he resisted. I don't have anything to do with you. Oh, no, thank you. And so they pulled away. He resisted, refused the help. No, likely that God sent. And these people were so concerned about him, they called the sheriff. They said, this fellow, they gave him his name, he's wandering down the road, and the sheriff went out to check him. By the time he got there, sadly, this poor kid had been hit and killed by a car. There's an old expression, nobody knows for sure who really penned it, but sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will keep you, will cost you more than you want to pay. As we go through this dark valley, shadow of death, this past year and this leading into this year, when there's confusion and chaos and even anarchy, God's people need to cry out to God. Humble themselves, repent, seek God for his direction and his will and his protection and his restoration and his healing. But it starts with our lives first. To know and acknowledge that everything we need, God provides. To know and acknowledge that he's with us, that he will lead us, that we can follow him. We head out during the day saying, Lord, what's your will for me this day? 1 Peter 2:25 reminds us, for you, meaning you and I, were like sheep going astray. But now you return to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. The good shepherd and the bishop, the overseer, the one that is in charge of your very soul. If you're listening to this message and you feel like you've drifted, then this morning, whatever time you choose to pick up and listen to this message, return to your shepherd. Re-acknowledge him. Come back to him. Say, I want you to be my shepherd, my God, my Lord, not just my Savior. I no longer want to do it on my own. If you're doing great in the Lord, God bless you. That's good. Just remind yourself every day when you're starting to feel overwhelmed and frustrated with the conditions of the world and the things that we're dealing with, that God cares. He knows he's with you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you. He wants to meet your provision. When we have a need, we turn to the shepherd. It is debated when David wrote this psalm, most likely later in life. He had a lot of triumphs in his life, but he also had a lot of pain and a lot of tragedy. Some self-inflicted, some from the hand of his enemy. But he looks back over his life, at times difficult and tumultuous, and probably when he was facing a crisis, he penned Psalm 30:23. When he knew that he needed to go back to his God to look for everything he needed. And he saw the Lord's faithfulness of provision and protection, especially at times of great difficulty. And Jesus said, he gave his life that he could be your shepherd. I'm a good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I guess there's no question as to how much Jesus is committed to you and to me. He's already proven it. He's already proven he can provide over and over and over again. We shall not want, we shall not lack. We shall grow and be blessed of God. We shall be blessed of God in every way. You shall be blessed of God in your household, in your family, in your church. God will bless you and bless us because we proclaim he is our shepherd. Let's pray. Father, we humble ourselves before you. We do emphatically proclaim this day that you are our shepherd. Lord Jesus, that you're the good shepherd. Remind us that on a daily basis. Help us to commit this to a daily confessional, that you are our shepherd. You will meet every need we have. We'll lack nothing. And when we need something, we'll turn to you and not to self. Thank you, Father, for that wonderful promise. Thank you for that promise that you know what's happening in our life. You know what's happening in our country. You know what's happening in our world. And that you have a plan. And regardless of what it looks like, we trust you in that plan. And Father, as the pastor of these people, I pray that you watch over them, in fact, as you promise. That your angels encamp about them, protect them, and keep them in all they do. That you do indeed bring provision in their household. That you meet every need they have. And that you cause and stir a deep hunger for them in your heart, in their hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a very blessed week. Chris and I, as always, say, continue to pray for you. We long to be with you. That day's coming. And we're not only coming back, that God will provide us a stronger, a brighter, a better future, because he is the restorer. Amen? Have a blessed week. We love you. Amen.